B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, we gave you some Red Sox, too. Wheel of gutless bums, bullpen still a problem. They're still winning, and Maz does not like Michael Chavis. To the phones, on everything. Gary in North Attleboro. Hi, Gary.
Hey, boys, how you doing? I just thinking about this scrimmage tonight. I read about it. I'm not that old, but 1946, St. Louis had clinched, and they tied with somebody. So it was the first time ever, so they decided to have a seven-game playoff series. And now the American League said, well,
Gary,
it's going to be sitting around. Yeah, go ahead.
What do you try and tell me here, please?
Well, the Red Sox, the American League had an all-star team play the Red Sox for three games. The first game, Ted Williams comes to the plate and gets plunked on the wrist by a fastball. End of three-game series. Williams hits 200 for the worst, 220, whatever it was. For the World
okay,
series.
So wait.
There's too much risk involved with tonight's scrimmage, I believe.
Is he trying to say that in 46, the Red Sox played an exhibition before the World Series?
That's what he's saying.
Williams got plunked and that led to his crappy series.
That's what he's saying.
Did that really happen?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Do you care? I'll take his word for it.
Do you care?
No. So, look, again, it was against someone else. It wasn't against the same team. You know, this is an intra-squad scrimmage, which means within the squad.
Yep.
So, just Bruins against Bruins. Is there the chance someone to get hurt? Sure. There's also the chance someone could have been hurt at practice over the last week while they've been screwing around doing nothing. So, I'm not worried about the injury factor. You want to tell me you think it's hokey? You know, it's pep rally-ish, Hooterville, all that kind of crap? Probably true. I just think it would benefit the Bruins to be in an arena with crowd, with fans and some intensity. That's all.
Brandon in Roxbury, your thoughts on Drake?
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. I just want to say, if Drake wants to fill out an application for the cheerleaders, give him some pom-poms, he'll be all right. I mean, he does look like a jackwagon just running up and down those down the aisle. I mean, we've seen Jay-Z. He's part owner of the Brooklyn Nets. We've seen Rick Ross. We've seen with Aaron Rodgers at the Milwaukee game. You think he's doing all that? I mean, he looks like a clown. So I definitely agree with you guys. He was irritating me. And no one's paying attention to him when he's doing these antics. He looks like an idiot.
Well, unfortunately, Giannis might be. And that's our problem. That's Giannis's problem. Is he feeling the pressure? Is he letting this clown get to him?
Seems it.
He might. You know that? And that's an issue for the Bucks. Believe me. That's an issue for Giannis. You got to ignore that jackwagon. But, you know, you mentioned Spike Lee. Spike Lee stayed in the parameters of his seat. I never remember Spike Lee running up and down the sidelines.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah, but he jawed back and forth.
He did.
No, he
mercilessly.
Jawed. He jawed. Yes.
Yeah, I told you the verbal stuff doesn't really bother me all that much.
But he was sticking his head over the line and everything.
Jack Nicholson did it too.
Not like this. Jack stood there like a glump.
Yeah, but I think he used to talk. Nicholson used to talk. It's the running up and down the floor that makes this guy different. The celebrities that have sat at courtside for games have been a-holes. The list is long and undistinguished, for crying out loud, on top of it. But the running up and down the floor like a jackwagon, as the caller said, that's different. That shouldn't be allowed.
Jack Nicholson. Guy was just sitting there reeking of weed in the inside of your belly button.
Hello?
Hi, Tom and Quincy on the Red Sox bullpen. You enjoyed that last night.
Hey, what's up, guys? I did not. And it's funny because I've been on them all year. But I realized last night, because I legitimately was laughing watching their performance, because you come to the point where there's not a single stiff out there that can even get an out, never mind hold a friggin' lead. So when I was working today, so I didn't get to see it, so I was listening to the game in my truck, and they were like, Velasquez is coming in for the ninth. I'm like, oh, this ought to be entertaining. And he did the exact same thing as all the other stiffs did last week against Colorado and Houston and last night against Toronto. I'm at the point where it's just laughable. Like, I don't even know what to do anymore. Like, so, it is a freaking joke.
Here's a question, Tom. Can they survive that lousy bullpen?
If they continue to play the Torontos of the world.
So the answer...
You got Houston this week, and they do get Verlander on Sunday, and Rodriguez is pitching against them. So that ought to be a real gem.
He is the best. Can they survive their lousy bullpen? Can I answer? Yes.
My answer this year is no.
Yes.
No.
They're surviving it.
They're out of the playoffs.
They're in contention.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
But last year they won 108.
They're not going to win 108. But they can survive it. They can survive it. There's so many bad teams. Their offense is going to get going. And then you get to the playoffs and they activate all their starters out there. And so I think they can do it again.
Okay, so
that doesn't mean they have a good bullpen, though.
I'm not worried about it. If they were to get to the playoffs, how they'll handle it. They've set us straight on that one. So clearly they're going to do it a different way. They're behind right now. The teams that are in front of them, they now have to catch, which means you can't blow games. And so I don't feel great. Right now there's one guy out there that I trust, and that's Barnes. And even he gave up a home run last night. He didn't blow the game, but he gave up a home run last night. Barnes has been good. The others,
Ari in Framingham, how do you feel about Drake? Ari?
So, about Drake and him being a clown on the sidelines, he is affiliated with the Toronto Raptors on the business end. The Toronto Raptors practice facility is named after him. They have a Drake court.
Ari.
Drake jerseys. Yeah.
Ari, so what?
So he has that's not really, he's kind of an owner.
Okay, so what if Pags ran up and down the sidelines like
How about Wick?
How'd you feel if you saw Pags and Wick? Just Pags. How about Pags waddling up and down the sidelines? Screaming, rubbing Brad Stevens' shoulders, screaming at the refs, encouraging, just the whole thing, the whole package. What if Pags did that?
Oh, he looked like a jackass. Again, it can't be allowed. So I thought it was bad, again, and I say bad, I'm not saying it had to be fixed. Years ago, when Don Gaston owned the team, he had seats in the loge. It was routine for him to stand up and scream at the officials. Constant. Oh. I mean, over and over and over again.
Danny, Tommy, they do that.
Okay, but I thought it really looked bad. It looked bad, but he wasn't running up and down the court.
And taunting other players?
I mean, that's horrible.
The caller, though, to what he brought up, I mean, he did just recently rename their practice facility. They gave him like a $550,000 diamond-encrusted coat a couple of nights ago.
$700,000.
They love it.
Oh,
the Raptors
God.
Love it.
They spent $700,000 on a coat.
Yeah, $700,000.
That's great.
He's one of the most famous people on the planet.
Side topic, that kind of makes me nauseous.
It's, you know, they probably look at it as good. Like cross promotion.
$750,000 on a coat.
So again, Murray, I'm not going to disagree with any part of that. Just don't run up and down the floor.
Well, then tase him.
I mean,
The Raptors have to be responsible. Tell him to sit his ass down.
If he's getting into the head of Giannis, though, why make it stop?
Stay in the perimeter of your seat or you're out like anyone else. If anyone else, even an owner, when you're on the sidelines, you're not allowed to roam up and down the sidelines like you're an assistant coach. That's just not allowed. I don't care who you are.
I told you, that's the running up and down the sideline that I don't like. That's the one that's got to go.
I mean, it's insane, in fact, that he's been allowed to do it. And I don't know what's more insane, the fact that it's actually working. He's crawled in the head of the Bucks' best player. That's almost as patently absurd. Scott and Weymouth, Bruins Blues, go.
We're going to go. Boom. 30 seconds in and out. Two takes. I love the scrimmage tonight. People don't realize this. They need some physicality. I hope someone gets a bloody nose. I think it's healthy to stay in full contact. Okay. Now, listen, this is the key to this Stanley Cup final. There's only one person on the St. Louis Blues you need to worry about, Vladimir Tarasenko. He's sick. I'm going to tell you right now, Felga, in my opinion, he's the third best Russian of all time. I'll name you the top five. Pavel Bure,
number
one.
Do you have to?
I would like to.
Quick, go.
Pavel Bure. Sergei Fedorov.
Fedorov's number one.
Okay.
I'll take Fedorov over Bure. I just cared about who your number one, two was. I don't care about 3, 4, 5.
I don't care about his one and two.
Alexander Mogilny. You know, tell me Fedorov is the best Russian of all time. Fine.
Bure was more skilled. I'll go to my grave believing that.
That guy to me, and again, I'm sure he's a nice fellow.
So annoying.
Nails on a chalkboard, man. Seriously, he's like when you're cutting your steak and the knife hits the plate and makes that squeaky noise. That's Scott and Weymouth.
So there was one thing, though, I did want to follow up on.
What, the scrimmage?
No. The only Blue you need to worry about is Tarasenko. I disagree with that. We redrafted this series. We drafted the series a couple hours ago. So we'll just give you a little sample of it. Draft the top four defensemen in this series in order. Both teams.
Pareko, number one. McAvoy, probably second. Petrangelo, third. And then take your pick of the next best Blue.
Bomeister.
Bouwmeester's fourth. Yes, they have three of the top four defensemen in the series.
So that's what I think, and I have Parayko ahead of McAvoy.
Why is this not on? I put McAvoy one because I'm biased.
But I think I think McAvoy has a higher ceiling.
If McAvoy plays to his peak, he's the best two-way defenseman in the series.
Right, but McAvoy is still at his age, and he's not there every night. Parayko, from what I've seen, has been a more steady, dominant force. I mean, dominant.
I mean, that guy, again, I haven't seen a ton of him, but what I have seen and what people have told me strikes me as the old school classic monster on D that polices his own zone.
Pitcher Chris Pronger back there.
That's the guy. I'm just going to say someone like that, kind of player.
And he's not a lumbering, he can skate. He can skate for a guy who's 6'6", 2 whatever. He's massive.
He's built like Shea Weber.
So I worry about the St. Louis D. You should too. They're legit. They're better than your D. They probably are. Probably are top to bottom better than your D. We continue with your thoughts on Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little bit of who do we want playing against each other, and a little bit about special teams. Now, we might end up flipping guys' sweaters anyway in the middle of this scrimmage. We want to make sure that Bergeron's group of the power play, we're going to use DeBrus to start there, is with them. So if it's a matter of him having to change a shirt, then that's what we'll do. So if this game's going to Vegas, the betting line, I'm giving you a heads up right now that the guys might switch teams.
Another Cassidy cut on the scrimmage tonight. A lot of people want to weigh in on that for some reason. Ryan in the car. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, two quick things. The best thing that could happen tonight in this scrimmage is that Tuca pitches a shutout and Halak lets in like 25 goals. I think that'd be a best case scenario. And second thing, the most talented player to not win a cup, I think you have missed.
Go ahead.
Carey Price.
Okay, I put him on my list yesterday. I mentioned him. Carey Price. I think the goalies are in a whole different category. We don't need to go back. We did a lot of this yesterday. We don't need to go back. Okay. There's a lot of goalies. And so put Carey Price over in that goalie list. He's definitely on it. Someone sent me a list of the top 13 highest scorers in the NHL, or Joe Thornton is 13th all-time in scoring, 13th. All 12 guys ahead of him have a cup, except for Marcel Dion.
Yeah, and so, I told you, I think Thornton's worse than Dion.
So if you just want to base it on that, those are the two highest scoring NHL players ever without a cup. So I think that's, it's all goes back to Thornton being in rarefied air.
And what I would say to that is, look at the teams they played on, and Thornton doesn't have an excuse. Marcel Dion does.
Agreed. Agreed on that. Derek in Foxborough wants to weigh in on Drake. Hi, Derek.
Yeah, the Bucks need to stop complaining about this. I mean, I saw Budenholzer, the coach, he was even bitching about this. Like, shouldn't he be coaching his team? Like, why is he worried about what Drake's doing? And if Giannis can't handle a little bit of heckling, then that's on them. That's not on the Raptors or the league or anybody.
Okay, so that part's right.
Yeah.
If Giannis has allowed this guy to crawl in his head, then that's on Giannis, and that's scary. I totally agree with you 100% on that. But no, it is the coach's place. If the coach isn't there to help defend his players and get this guy off their ass, then what's he there for?
I mean, should the coach not pitch about the officiating too?
Yeah, no, the coach should absolutely be saying something. That's his job.
I can't believe that he's able to run around like he runs around. That's the part that gets me.
So
it's one thing to sit in the stands and heckle and be a general jackass, like, but to be a mobile jackass,
to run up and down the sidelines, lean on the scorer's table, rub the shoulders of the coach.
He can go to places that the coach can't go.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. It's ridiculous.
Antetokounmpo's manager, or one of them, Georgios Dimitropoulos. Sorry about that. But it is. That's what he, I love this. This was his agent in Greece. and they made him the senior director for Octagon Foreign because it's like
brilliant.
Whatever it takes, you know, to get Giannis to sign with Octagon. Who's your guy? We'll make him whatever you want us to make him.
Yeah,
whatever you want to make him, we'll make him.
Stephanopoulos,
president of whatever. So he did weigh in, and he made a good point. He said, "Imagine a gig," and I think he means like a music concert, like a music gig. Imagine a gig, a Drake gig, and an athlete in VIP seats right next to the band stands up on the stage just to show off during the entire concert, knowing cameras are on him, occasionally even massaging the singer. Security and the singer both allow it. Never seen anything as disrespectful as this before. But that is...
I agree.
That is the equivalent. Someone in those VIP backstage passes, backstage seats there at a Drake concert is sitting there rubbing the shoulders of the drummer, you know, getting up there and dancing next to the backup singers, you know? And in the meantime, you're like, Drake, you suck! That song blows! You say your wife's a shoplifter! You know, like that thing. That would be the equivalent.
Totally would be.
How do you think old Drake would feel about that?
I'm telling you, I think he looks like a jackass. And again, I have no problem with celebrities buying in and being at the games and everything else. But the running around on the floor, like your pants are on fire, like that is just... to me, that goes beyond what you should be doing down there. Stay out of the way, dude.
Paul in the car on the Kyrie Irving story. Yes, Paul.
Hey, do you think Kyrie's kind of talking to Durant going, hey, you know, watch it with that leg here. You know, if we're going to be a package deal, I don't think you should risk it because I keep hearing he may be available for the finals.
So, we mentioned this the other day. There's a dynamic there. I think for Durant's legacy, he's going to want to come back and grab part of this title. Because if they win one without him, he looks like an even bigger ring chaser, and he looks more superfluous if they win it without him. So then they would have won. They would have gone to three without him, won two of the three, and he balloons in and wins two with them and claims some sort of piece of that. He looks really bad if he's not here for this title. So does he rush back for that? Or has he got one foot out the door and he wants to be healthy for the Knicks next year and he just shuts it down?
I know Murray touched on this the other day, but it's almost like, at least for Draymond Green, maybe a couple of the others too, they want to win it out of spite.
Definitely.
Just to prove that, you know what, go ahead and leave. We don't need you. We're just as good without you. Like, that's what they want to prove. I don't know if it's true. We'll see how it plays out, particularly for Curry. But nonetheless, like, with Draymond Green, he does. He wants to win out of spite.
You personally are rooting for Durant to come back because you don't want Curry to win another one on his own. You don't want that.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Durant to stay out and for Golden State to lose.
Ah,
that's what I'm rooting for.
Got it. Well, okay, one or the other. Durant comes back or Golden State loses without him. But if Durant stays out and Golden State wins with Curry, we're going to have a little discussion about that, Maz.
You might have to have a take retraction.
Nate in California. Go ahead, Nate. On the Bruins, what do you got?
How's it going? Out west, I get to watch a lot of stuff in the Blues game. In game two, the Blues outskated and outhit the Sharks, and that's what I'm worried about. Then the Blues outskating the Bruins as well.
Okay, so I'm just getting your phone's too sketchy. I'm a little more worried about their size and their grind and their commitment and their patience and that sort of thing. They're not the fastest team either, although they might be faster than you. I do not think that. I think you are a middle-of-the-pack speed team in the league, if that, at best.
So I would like to find out, too, where the Blues ranked in scoring during the regular season. Like, now that I think of it.
Stand by.
Because some of the goals they scored in that series against the Sharks were really bad defense on the part of San Jose. I mean, like, I'm talking guys having plenty of space behind the defense in front of the goalie. Lots of room there. Lots of room.
So the Blues fan... And of course, the computer is slow. The Blues fan is going to say, "Well, what you really want to do is look starting January 1st because we were a different team starting January 1st." I want to say that the Blues were a middle of the pack team, but again, because the computer doesn't work, I would have had that for you, but I don't. Wayne in Yarmouth, what do you got for us on Drake?
Yeah, you guys have all hit on it and callers, but this is ridiculous. And you know, while I'm not a prude necessarily, but this guy. And his antics, who knows what this could lead to with how proximate the first few rows in basketball are to the floor. Some nut could come out there and do something worse than this crazy nut.
Well, that's the thing, Wayne, that whole thing about the NBA experience is special and is kind of neat that you're on the floor. And that is a unique experience in sports. And I'm with you. because sometimes I'm lucky enough to get down there. It is, you'd hate to see someone ruin it. And I just, in the back of my head, I feel someone's going to ruin it. At some point, someone's going to do something so stupid that for the player's sake, the league's going to have to say, we're shutting it down. We're going to put a barrier there. In Europe, they have like a little barrier between the fans and the court, and we're going to have to put something up, and that's just it, because we can't have jackasses running around doing X, Y, and Z, and I'm just afraid X, Y, and Z is going to happen eventually. I'm going to shut those seats down. It's, you know, it's coming. I mean, in Utah, they have to look at it. If you got multiple fans there just, you know, hurling racial bombs onto the floor, can't have that. And if you allow people to run up and down the sidelines like they're an assistant coach, like if you let these rappers run up and down the sidelines, like enough, enough, something's going to happen.
He's going to get a ring if they win. I mean, of course he's going to get a ring. He's like part owner, for crying out loud. He might as well be, given the you know, the commitment he's made to the organization with the practice facility and everything else. That's a joke.
Brian, real quick on this. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Felger. I can't believe I'm giving you a take on Drake right now, but whatever. But this, Mark Cuban's been doing this for years. He's been disrupting the game and yelling at referees and doing all that kind of stuff. The league just needs to fine him. If he's connected to the team in some way, fine him. Money goes to charity. It's done with. Cuban's calmed down over the years. You know, you find him with, you hit him with some big tag, boom, done. Next thing you know, he's in his seat.
Okay, Brian. You're right that Cuban's a jackass, but Cuban's not doing what Drake's doing. Cuban's not running up and down. Is Cuban crossing midcourt and windmill waving the crowd on?
I mean, not that I remember.
No, he sits, I think, in this, you know, he sits behind the basket and,
yeah, under the hoop,
and chirps all night.
Yeah, he does.
How's that different than Ainge or Wick or any of these guys?
It's not. Again, the big one with Drake is the running up and down the sidelines. I've never seen that. When I saw it, I went, you've got to be kidding me. Like, really? They allow that? This clown to be running up and down the sideline? He can step over the coach's line, but the coach can't?
Murray, update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If I had to give an edge one way or another, I would give it to the sixth defenseman of the St. Louis Blues as being more physical than the sixth defenseman of the Boston Bruins. Now, that's just my opinion. I think it's a different type of physical play. It's a lot of cross-checking. It's boxing out. It's making it difficult to get to the net. The Boston Bruins have shown that they're not going to shy away from anybody, and they can handle any kind of physical play. But I just know from playing against this Blues team, it's not easy ice out there at all.
Yeah, and bigger on the Blues blue line, especially with Dunn not being there. There's a lot of size on the back end. Boston's got a couple of little guys that can maneuver well and aren't afraid to go to those high traffic areas and battle, but not the same size as the Blues.
That's Patrick Sharp, Keith Jones, NBC Sports Network. The Blues might have you on D. They might have you on D. Was that you who asked Maz where the Blues rank offensively during the season?
Yep.
I'll just give it to you from January 1st, which is when they turned around.
Okay.
On January 1st, they were in last place, and they ended up on that huge run, and now we're here in the Stanley Cup Finals. So since January 1st, the Blues ranked ninth in hockey and goals.
Okay.
The Bruins are sixth.
Okay.
Just FYI. So top 10 offense since they turned it around, but not, you know, even there, not a prolific offense, which is why I still like the matchup. I the word I used was explosive. I do not think the Blues are explosive offensively, and those are the teams that would scare me if I'm the Bruins.
So I wonder about it, but it's higher than I thought. I mean, I thought they were going to be like middle of the pack. And I checked quickly goals against, and they were tied for second fewest in the league during that same period of time. I don't know if you have the same numbers I do.
I do.
Mine are from, I did it by game.
Nope, I'm third. The third fewest since January 1st.
Okay, so to me, that's what they're about.
Right, exactly.
They're about keeping the puck out of the net.
Exactly.
And that's their identity, and they're good at it. They're really, really good at it. San Jose isn't. I mean, San Jose was really loose. They had bad goaltending on top of it. And so they just didn't get it anywhere, and you got what you got. I just think the Bruins are going to be better at that than the Sharks are.
We got Mike and Athol on the series. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. I heard you guys talking a little bit earlier about kind of drafting this 1-8. And I think as you were talking about, it was one guy that you were seriously shortchanging from the other side, and that's Alex Pietrangelo. Alex Pietrangelo, this is a guy that gets top-line minutes with Team Canada. Like, he doesn't get talked about a lot because he plays in St. Louis. Big body, great skater, excellent puck handler. Like, he is the real deal up there in the conversation with the Hedmans and the Doughtys of the world in the NHL. Now, this series, it is a good matchup, but top to bottom, the Bruins are the better team. I know it sounds a little honky and homery to say it like that, but you look at their roster, especially when you get that Bergeron line matched up with the Shen and the Tarasenko line, they have to win that matchup, and they should win that matchup, and that's going to decide the series. From there,
well, so, but hold on, Mike. Matchup. Yeah, they should win the against the forwards, but what if they're up against Parayko and Pietrangelo, Parayko and Bomeister? That's the issue there.
So it's Parayko and Bomeister generally that play together, and Jay Bomeister is a shell of himself. I mean, we talk about it with Chara. Jay Bomeister is probably falling off even worse than Chara has. Now, they have that going. That line has been the best line in hockey across the board for the entire season, and they need to deliver. If they don't deliver, you're dead right, and that's been the story the entire playoffs.
It hasn't been.
I have confidence they're done.
Mike, I'm going to stop you. You're giving me way too much. It's not the whole. They've gotten tremendous secondary scoring. They got 18 guys who fit the score sheet, for crying out loud. The first line has had some hic in this last run. I mean, that's just wrong. And I hate that analysis. It's not just about the first line. It better not be. If they're scoring and putting up huge points, yes, great. But if they're not, it doesn't end there, nor should it. Nor should it. Johansson and Coyle and that group should have chances in this series. They should. They're going up against the third D pair in St. Louis. They get to avoid Parayko. They get to avoid Pietrangelo for the most part. So they've been an excellent third line. I like those guys. I do not think it's all about Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron. I do not.
I mean, when you look, I think I read it in DuPont this morning. The Bruins have 18 guys who have scored. The Blues have had 19, or vice versa. Combined, it's 37. Second most ever going into the Cup Finals. Like, they're both getting scoring from all over the place. The one thing I will say, though, is if they're, you know, this goes back to, if their best players are better than your best players, you're probably going to lose.
I'm not convinced of that.
You're not?
No.
So, in this case, I think it's going to play that way because...
I mean, taking out the goaltenders.
Because their best players are their defensemen and your best players...
Which is why I'm telling you, and I'm sorry, don't mean to be sound frustrated.
No, don't worry about it.
But Coyle, Johansson... Heinen.
Sure.
Corrali. Those players have been really productive for you.
They have.
If their top D shuts down the Bergeron line, you should have other guys that could take advantage. You are a deeper offensive team. You should be.
Yeah. I just wonder whether against that D core, whether those guys are, the secondary scoring guys are going to be as much of a factor in this series. Maybe you're right.
How do you feel about St. Louis's third pair?
Not great.
Okay. And I'll tell you, this is another thing that and it's Dunn and Gunnarsson, and isn't Dunn hurt? And aren't they playing that big guy with the B? Again, I forget his...
Bertuzzo.
Bertuzzo, right. Who's sort of an in-and-out guy. So their third pair is like a lot of third pairs, really susceptible, including yours. It's been a while since someone has exposed the Clifton, John Moore, Steve Kampfer, you know, who's down there? Grizzlick, who I like, but still, that Grizzlick, Connor Clifton... John Moore, Grizzlick, Kampfer, Connor Clip, like that is, Carolina was not in a position to take advantage of that, nor did they. St. Louis should be. So, you know, get ready for that as well.
Yeah, and Columbus didn't have the depth of scoring to take advantage of that either. So it is, that's a factor. They're deep. St. Louis is deep.
Sully in Providence. Hi, Sul.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. What do you got?
Two things. I think the layoff, I'm more worried about Tuukka than anybody else. I think the skater is going to be fine. Tuukka, we know his mental, his confidence, that's the problem with him. And I just hope he's seeing the puck the way he was in the first couple of series after this layoff. Second, legacy for the guys that are the core guys that went to the first two cups. There's a big difference between going 1-2 and 2-1, so this is big for them. I think Chara and Bergeron are Hall of Famers. I think the other guys that might be bubble guys, having two rings is a big deal. And with the Russian stuff before, you guys are both wrong. Ovechkin is the best Russian of all time.
Okay, well, Ovechkin's championship helps him in that conversation, doesn't it? Although, how many did Fedorov have? Story for a different day. The layoff, does it affect the skaters or Rask more? I've been told by the hockey people, Amonte tells me it's the skaters, and it's not even close. That the goalies still get their work. The goalies are still just... a goalie can stay fresher with the practice stuff than a skater can, is what he says. And I think that's I'll take his word for it. And what I think is going to have to be in game one is that Rask is going to have to bail out the skaters from what's going to be an inevitable slow start. And that's the way that's going to have to work. And conversely, this scrimmage tonight, I'm more worried about Rask than anyone else. Like, I think anything less than a real hockey game sort of dinks around, that the tweener thing dinks around with goalies. And I dislike it the most for Rask than anyone else. But in terms of the layoff, it's going to be your skaters, according to the people who've played.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time predicting that one, because I think the Blues are going to have issues too. They're going to be almost a week without playing when that game comes around themselves.
Brian in Milford on our guy Drake. What do you got?
I got three points on Drake. You know the Toronto Raptors aren't going to do anything about it. They're probably encouraging to do it to get the fans all whooped up and everything. And that's also why you'll never catch him in Milwaukee acting like that at a game, because they'll toss him out. You know, the NBA's not going to do anything about it because he was acting like that at the NBA All-Star game. They also love it because it gets more attention. So if I was on the Milwaukee Bucks, as soon as he's on the court, I'd be trying to occupy the same exact space that he's occupying every single time. And that would maybe force the NBA's hand to do something about it. But other than that, it's never going to be addressed.
Okay, I disagree. When they go back there for game 5, 6, I bet you he's going to be much better behaved.
I mean, somebody's got to rein him in. It didn't occur to me until the caller just started talking. I wonder how Kawhi feels about it. Because if Kawhi likes it, then the Raptors are going to allow it.
It's really not Kawhi's style, though. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a very soft-spoken.
Agreed.
You know, Kawhi Leonard is not an antics guy. I really like him. I love the way he carries himself on the floor, off the floor, sort of a quiet, you know, pro, serious.
I mean, do you think he's even paying attention to it? I'm sure he's not even thinking about it.
Maybe. I'm just wondering, like, I don't know, maybe they're buddies. What if they're buddies?
So if they are and he likes it, they're still going to have to tell him to sit down.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, the Raptors will do everything they can to keep Kawhi happy until he signs.
The NBA is going to step in and tell him to sit his ass down.
I mean, that thing was bad, though. That was him running up and down the sideline there again. The coach.
It's been going on. He was chirping at Embiid in the 76ers series.
So. Chirping is, we've seen the chirping. Yeah. I've never seen a guy cross midcourt and chirp.
There's a line, the coach's line, that the coaches can't pass. Apparently, Drake is allowed past that line.
Yep, he's got all access.
Really, it's comical. Like, nope, the coach who's actually part of the game cannot cross into that area. Drake, you go right ahead.
Jerry in the car. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I don't know if I agree with you totally. They have the big edge defensively. Yes, Pietrangelo and Parachinko, whatever his name is,
Parenko.
55 there. Yeah, they're solid, but... I mean, Bo Meester is Chara, so they wash, all right? And then their third pairing, as you said, Felger, the last guy there, 41, he scored the big goal there and against Dallas. But, right. You know, he's in and out of the lineup. I like our bottom two guys, and I think, to your point, the second and third line should be able to penetrate that defense, in my humble opinion.
Okay, so, I think the Blues have two good pairs. So Krejci and Bergeron are going to be facing good defensemen. The Coyle line should be getting the third pair. And I don't know how they do it in St. Louis and how Berube rolls those guys. Mraz said yesterday he really plays five and the six guys, sort of a mix and match. And so but let's see how that all plays out. But they can't have Parayko and Pietrangelo out there against everybody. So someone's going to get a better look. And those guys are the ones that I think have to produce. If Bergeron gets shut down by two excellent defensemen, that can happen. So I don't think it shouldn't be dependent on that first line.
It's a good point.
You have some depth there. That trade deadline helped you.
This thing's going to be a rock fight. I'm telling you, it's going to be a rock fight.
Maz has the baseball reporters coming up at 6. Let's have Billy in Rhode Island get us ready for it. What do you got, Billy?
All right, I'm ready. Let's change the subject for a second. Maz, I want to congratulate you.
What did I do,
I'm always on you, but I'm going to congratulate you today. You actually put the Red Sox into the playoffs this year with a 13-2 start. So I'm very, very, very proud of you, honest to God.
I don't know what
Secondly,
you're talking about.
It's the replays. You're doing a replay today. You put the Red Sox in the playoffs. You made a comment what happens when the pitching gets in the playoffs. And then you did the same thing last year against Houston, Dodgers, and the Yankees.
Billy, I have to let you go. The only thing worse than a bad phone is a caller who talks about things that happened yesterday, last week, 2 hours ago, and so no one has any earthly idea what the hell you're talking about. I have no earthly idea what the hell you were talking about. I was here 2 hours ago.
Me neither.
What are you talking about? pretend.
I didn't say what would they do in the playoffs.
What was the 13-2 thing?
I have no idea. I have no idea what he's talking about.
God.
Again, he probably heard some. Billy doesn't like me. Billy in Rhode Island doesn't like me. He always calls to bust my balls. He kisses your ass. He busts my balls.
Oh, yeah. Billy in Rhode Island's my guy.
Oh, he is. No, he loves you.
Does he?
Yeah.
I think he's a faithful listener.
Now that I think of it, what's Billy's last name?
Here's a word from our sponsors. Then we have the final word where Bruce Cassidy tried to reenact the Bruins goal song, and it sounded like something else. You don't want to miss this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The
Nobody
best
jump.
Prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
That would be nobody. All right, bunch of stuff to get to here. So this got stuck in my head. Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy was speaking ahead of tonight's scrimmage at the Garden, and he was asked if it's going to be handled like a real game with all the bells and whistles and accoutrement, including the goal song. So this was part of his response.
If we score a goal, I don't know if we're going to hear. I don't know if we'll hear that.
Now, I heard it, and I thought that it sounded like something, and it's not the normal goal song, which is Zombie Nation. Now, I overlaid what he was singing there, or trying to sing, over Zombie Nation.
I don't know if he'll hear that.
Not quite close.
Can I guess?
Not even
Go
close.
Ahead.
But this,
Go ahead.
This is the accuracy, little scary.
I don't know if he'll hear that.
I couldn't believe how easy it worked.
Yeah.
Murray.
No question. Before I even heard that, I said, that's the Adams family.
Exactly. So again, here it is without the music.
If we score a goal, I don't know if we're going to hear. I don't know if we'll hear that.
It sounds just like it.
It does.
It's like on key.
I don't know if we'll hear that.
Wow.
Yeah, normally these things can be a pain in the ass to put together, but that, I was like, oh, this just works perfectly. Like you said, it's like it's in key. So, good job, Bruce.
Wow, good job.
Well, he does have Herman Munster playing defense for him.
One thing that's always fun on this show, when Felger gets asked about stats he's got no clue about, and then he gets mad about it.
But that was the double OT Game 7, so that was a grinder for him. Turned into a grinder for him.
Yeah, I just don't know how much talent Dallas really has. How many shots did Dallas have after the first period of that game? Didn't they have something like...
Now, that is an why would you possibly think I could have that number?
I wasn't asking.
He's talking about.
Murray, how many shots did Dallas have after the first period of Game 7 in the second round against St. Louis? You have that number?
Single digits.
Yeah, it's like 3 or something.
Really?
It was something ridiculous.
Oh, something absurd.
Yeah.
So you're saying I should know that number?
Well, I'm telling you, it was absurdly low. Yeah, the Blues completely just shut them down. Absolutely smothered them and stifled them.
So, like, you know, as much as they, you know, look at 1-7, so, like, you know, we want to tell you, that could go either way. I just felt like, I don't know, Dallas to me was the worst of the three opponents they played. The Jets are freaking fast and big. Like, that's more problems. And more replay creates more problems. Define Hail Mary. Oh, that's great. That's a good one. That's define Hail Mary.
I looked up the stats. In the second and third periods.
Oh, thank you.
They had 4 shots.
Dallas, I said 3. I knew I was close.
Okay, yeah. So that is kind of a number that I kind of, but you do like to do that, by the way.
Well, but it's rhetoric. I'm not asking you.
Yeah, and you like to pretend you don't know Belichick as well as you do.
Yeah, it's true.
No, but that's another thing. But
well, I sort of mean it as like, how many RBIs did he have that year? I don't mean it as...
How do I possibly know that?
Well, I know, but I'm asking it rhetorically.
Well,
I just mean that he had a lot of RBI that year.
What? How many assists in 2015? Oh, yeah, man, that's 76. How do I know? Like, what do you mean? I have no idea. How many shots did they have in the last 2 periods of that game?
So in 3 periods and 2 overtimes of that game, Dallas had 30 shots.
Okay.
4 in the second and third periods combined.
That's crazy.
4 shots. One of those periods, they had 1.
Wow.
1. ridiculously low.
Well, this wasn't even.
See, I read the game story.
This wasn't even the best thing you got mad at today. I don't even really know what was happening here because I thought you were having a stroke, like when you were trying to go through stats.
Aneurysm.
Yeah.
Alex in Brookline. Hi, Alex.
Has anyone looked up the statistics of teams that have won in the conference finals with a sweep and have won a Stanley Cup?
Yes. I have that information for you right here, in fact. So why don't I drop you and you can listen to your radio for it.
It's not good. I know that.
It's not great.
It's not great. 10 days off, they lost the cup final to New Jersey in 7.
The 09 Pittsburgh Penguins, they won the cup finals over Detroit in 7 games. The 2010 Blackhawks had 5 days off. They won the cup final over the Philadelphia Flyers in 6 games. The 13 Bruins, 4 days off, lost to the Blackhawks in 6 games. So that's 2-2. It's not horrible. With the exception of the 2010 Blackhawks, every team that swept its conference final either lost the cup final or needed 7 games to win. That's not true. That's confusing. They just said the 09. I'm sorry to do that to you. That makes no sense. That's annoying. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, so look, based on the...
That's annoying.
Some of the data I had seen early on showed that the long layoff teams tend to do worse in the final.
That is big picture. I don't have the numbers in front of me, and I just tried to read them to you, and that was all effed up. I hate wasting time like that. God! Historically, generically, if you have a short series and you play a team that's played a long series... The numbers are against you. That's just the way it is. It actually made sense.
Yeah, it did. When you read it again.
What it wrote, yeah. So it's happened 4 times. With the exception of the 2010 Blackhawks, every team that swept its conference final either lost the cup final or needed 7 to win.
So why is the 7 to win a negative?
I know, right? So it takes 7 to win. Who gives a crap? Like, they're trying to present this like, ooh, you're in big trouble if you sweep your conference final. It sounds like it's a wash. It sounds like it's 50-50. But the way it's written, portrayed, if you're not paying close attention, just stupid like I am, you brush right by it. It's like, that makes no sense. That was poorly written. I hate that.
Decaf.
You're saying I need decaf?
Yeah.
Wow.
Got to keep the lines very well drawn from Mike Martin.
They do. I need clearly drawn lines.
Keep the lines very well drawn.
Oh, everything else takes too much time. We don't have a lot of time here. Maz, we have come up on the baseball reporters.
Red Sox wrapped up a 4-game series with the Blue Jays with a win. Meaning they won 3 out of 4 from Toronto in this series.
And we're going to dump all over them, aren't we?
But it sure didn't feel like it. So we're going to actually, we'll tell you what happened in today's game. Obviously, there's a bunch of things I want to get to. Including the kid who pitched for the Red Sox today. I say kid, I think he's 28. Ryan Weber, we'll get to him later in the show. I never heard of this guy.
He was the defenseman for the Nashville Predators, wasn't he?
This is his brother, Shea Weber. Ryan Weber, though, I look at him and I say... The guy's got no stuff. He's 28-year-old journeyman, and I like him. I'll tell you why I like him. I don't know if you can get anybody out, but there is a reason I like him. We'll get to that. And last night's game, very, very important.
Here comes Maz. 90 seconds, no spots. Then you get the baseball reporters. We're back at tomorrow at 2 for an agenda-free Friday. Take you into the weekend.
Agenda-free.
See you then, buddy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.